Studio 360.
Today on Studio 360, we are looking at country music, past, present, and future. In my Nebraska childhood, I had a soft spot for country music, partly because my parents so disapproved. Later, at college and afterward, my fandom continued, partly because the Eastern elite didn't get it or disapproved. And it's interesting that so much great country music was always performed by women. Patsy Cline, Loretta Lynn, Tammy Wynette, and Dolly Parton, whom I once drove for hours to see. How interestingly unlike rock music that was, where women were largely excluded from superstardom. And mainstream country remained female-friendly that way into the 1990s, with gigantic stars like Shania Twain. And Faith Hill. Reba McEntire. She said, "Here she wants his fancy, don't let me down." And more. But these days on country radio, the big hits are by men, what they call bro country. In fact, this past December, all of the top 20 artists on Billboard's country airplay chart were men, which had never happened before. And so what the heck did happen? Our bona fide expert on this subject is Julie Height, a country music journalist in Nashville who just wrote an article in Slate with the headline, "The Women of Country Have Had Enough of Playing by Nashville's Rules." So, Julie, as I've explained, women used to dominate country. Why did that peter out at the turn of the century?
You know, I think that one thing that laid the groundwork for it was what happened with the Dixie Chicks in the early aughts. You know, you had this group that got in trouble because, I mean, Natalie Maines made a very offhand remark criticizing then President Bush in front of a British audience at a concert.
Just so you know, we're on the good side with y'all. We do not want a war. We're ashamed of the President of the United States.
That was in the era before...
Right when the Iraq War had started.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Dixie Chicks sort of refused to apologize for speaking their minds. So that just didn't sit well with a lot of people who make programming decisions at mainstream country radio. And, you know, they parted ways with the format for good. And I think that maybe that had a little bit of a chilling effect in terms of women in country who weren't afraid to be themselves or speak their mind, you know. But really, there was this thing called Tomato Gate that happened in 2015.
Heard about that.
Radio consultant Keith Hill said that radio stations, in order to get good ratings, should not play female artists too often and definitely not two female artists back to back. I play great female records, and we've got some right now. They're just not the lettuce in our salad. The lettuce is Luke Bryan, Blake Shelton, Keith Urban, and artists like that. The tomatoes of our salad are the females. This gave birth to Tomato Gate.
That wasn't a new idea. He was spelling out the way that people were already thinking and things that were already being put into practice. I mean, I think it became so scandalous because it really struck a nerve. It was galvanizing.
So if country radio is no longer the path that it was for country women to become successful, we're no longer dependent on terrestrial radio. What about, all the other ways to get your music out? Does that work for women?
I mean, the rules are a little bit different when you're trying to build a career in that world because terrestrial radio does hold more sway in country than it does in other genres at this point still.
It's interesting that country is still rooted in terrestrial radio in that conservative way. Is it also true that the country music performance circuit is more of a circuit than other genres?
you see a lot of artists kind of developing by being opening acts on arena tours, you know, opening for bigger stars. So there too, say you're a rising woman in the field, right, you know, trying to find your footing. If you can't get good slots on tours, then that makes it more of a challenge too. But also, there have been a lot of women recently, like Maren Morris and Cam and Kacey Musgraves, who have decided to open arena tours for male British pop stars instead.
So let's listen to some music. And you mentioned Kacey Musgraves,
yeah,
who's a big star. This is her hit from last year called High Horse. That's Kacey Musgraves, so poppy. And like, I listened to that song a couple times, and I thought, okay, if it didn't mention John Wayne and didn't have a giddy up in it, it doesn't sound like a country song to me, except for those sort of signifiers, right?
Well, I mean, country did have its disco moment. If you look back in Dolly Parton's catalog Ronnie Millsap's catalog. But yeah, I mean, for Kacey Musgraves in particular, she was pushing her sound. You know, there are other tracks on the album that have a little bit more of her particular angle on a vintage Western sound. But people also really responded to tracks like that one from her, you know, her disco side, you know, obviously was a breakthrough album last year because it won CMA Album of the Year. And then it's up for a Grammy in the Album of the Year, the all-genre Album of the Year category.
Right, which doesn't happen very often. I mean, you look back at the Grammy nomination history. I mean, here she is up against Cardi B and Drake. I mean, that doesn't happen very often where a country album is just one of the main albums.
Yeah, you're right. It is not a common occurrence. The song that you just played did not get radio airplay, but, you know, that was sort of beside the point. I mean, she had great visibility and all of this success and attention and, you know, bookings.
And appears on Saturday Night Live and
exactly,
is a social media
prime
figure.
Time TV bookings. And without even worrying about not getting radio airplay. So I think she has given a lot of artists permission to find alternate routes.
Right. I want to play a very different kind of artist, Ashley McBride.
I get these calls out on the road. Heard your song on my radio. We always said you'd make it big. And I tell all my friends I knew you back when. So don't forget all us little folks, and when you crash and burn, remember we told you so. And then the lights come up.
That's Ashley McBride. The song is Girl Going Nowhere. Now that seems beautifully, nicely classic. Could have appeared in, you know, any year of the last, I don't know, 50, 60?
Right.
And she's a singer-songwriter. And I read you talking about the, you know, singer-songwriter thing, and it hasn't been as much an obligatory thing or a standard thing to write your own songs if you're a country music performer. And so that's another way that she and other of these women in country can go a different way. It's not just, oh, here's a hit that somebody wrote for me, I'll sing it, right?
Absolutely. The mentality in Nashville was that either you were a professional singer or you were a professional songwriter, but those were two different gigs. And that has been a pretty drastic change. There are a lot of rising female voices in Nashville that started with publishing deals as professional songwriters and then, you know, had some sort of realization that what would work best for them was to try and do their own stuff? What would be the most satisfying or the most likely to find an audience, or, you know, or maybe that no one was likely to record the stuff that they were writing. So, you know, so the pivot toward doing their own thing and kind of putting their own perspective out there and owning it as their own perspective.
Another performer you've talked about, Maren Morris. I want to play a bit of her song from a few years ago called I Could Use a Love Song.
Usually a drink will do the trick. Take the edge off quick, sitting in the dark with a shared cigarette. Seeing eye to eye and heart to heart. But maybe I'm just getting old. Used to work, but now it don't. A long gone drive. You know the kind where you take a turn and you don't know why. But it clears your mind, a surefire cure. I need something stronger.
I mean, that song, what made it interesting hearing that come from a young artist in the country world was her vocal approach. I mean, she has a really big voice. With Maren Morris, you have one of the earliest artists in country to be singing in that low range and making it sound so much more casual. That's a huge change in the way that country artists sing. Instead of just belting or singing hard or kind of projecting emphatically, you know, that I think it was a generational shift that she really helped usher in, that kind of more millennial sensibility of being deliberately casual and intimate and conversational in uh-huh. the way that she sang.
And even though that's a very country-sounding song, I want to play a little bit of another thing she did, another song she did last year called In the Middle by this German producer called Zed. I mean, all synthy and dance poppy and like, whoa, that really? That's the same artist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that definitely is an example of a successful crossover moment. That was a huge song and, you know, and lots of people heard it on a Target ad. But you know what else that song proves? It proves that, and I've seen a lot of research that speaks to this, that it is often country artists who are women who have more crossover appeal or who are more distinctly identifiable or who, you know, are more likely to get place a song in a Target ad or that sort of thing, you know, get branding opportunities. Maren Morris can do a song like that and have a huge pop crossover moment and boost her visibility kind of across the board. But she can also, so long as she says that she still wants to be a part of the country world and doesn't want to leave it behind as Taylor Swift has, you know, she can kind of have it both ways, but it's sort of a, you know, a deliberate choice that an artist can make to make it clear that they're not disassociating themselves from country.
Right. Well, you talked about how 15 years ago, the Dixie Chicks got banished, essentially, from being a bit political during the Iraq War. So here's Maren Morris and Kacey Musgraves saying progressive things about LGBTQ, progressive things about gun control, and they're not banished.
Yeah, I think that the atmosphere kind of across the board in terms of artists making quote-unquote social or political statements in Nashville right now is one of very gentle, mild sort of expressions of live and let live tolerance.
Julie Hyde, you have made me realize that there's all this activity below the giant superstar level that makes me hopeful about this musical tradition and, dare I say it, about America. We don't want monocultures in anything, and good that women are the ones in country who seem to be proving the virtue of that.
Yeah, I think it will be. I will be very interested having, you know, watched particular things emerging last year. I'm going to be really interested to see how they continue to play out in 2019.
Well, you come back in 2020 and tell us how that worked out.
I'll be happy to.
Julie Height, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Julie Height is a reporter who lives in Nashville, and you can read her article we talked about at slate.com.